是释迦牟尼佛，
南无本师释迦牟尼佛，
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 南无本师释迦牟尼佛。
好，请放掌。Good afternoon, brothers and sisters. How are you all today? Good or not?
Good.
Good must say good lah. Yes. Come. Go. Let's see. Kim Kong Geng. So I think we stop somewhere here. I think we stop here. Probably. Or maybe not yet. Somewhere in between. Because I covered the 有禅定的人和没有禅定的人 I think I covered this part. So last week we reached up to this point. So my teacher was explaining the differences between those with jhana and those without jhana. Then I went a bit into the explanation of what jhana is and what it entails. So 当然若不叫我们看见我们也是看不见的 So we covered this last week 如果他不想说没有那也可以那就是有随心所欲的这种境界从这里可以很明显的知道不是真实的 So my teacher is using this to, as an illustration that when we say something is real or unreal, what does it mean? Like now we are in the classroom. If someone tell you that this classroom is not real, you think you're crazy. If someone tell you that your handphone is not real, you think you are crazy. But what do we mean by real and what do we mean by not real? If it's real, it should be substantial. It should be substantial. Is it substantial? And what do we mean by substantial? Is it always the same? And we will find that a lot of things don't satisfy this criteria. Under certain circumstances, it is like this, it is like that. But when conditions change, then it is no longer the same. If it's real, it is substantial, inherent, then it cannot change. That means the quality is fixed. Then we can say it's very solidly like this or like that, isn't it? It's just like how this morning or yesterday at the Ho Fa Tuan, so I asked the small kids, I asked them, are you all always happy? When are you happy? When are you not happy? So they said, oh, sometimes like this, then I'm happy. Sometimes like that, I'm not happy. So if your happiness is substantial, then you're always happy. If something can give you happiness, then that something has substantial happiness. A lot of young kids love the handphone. And sometimes the not so young kids also. The old kids. We all have our own prized possession. Things that we hold dear to our heart. Would you hold something dear to your heart if it's something that you don't like? You wouldn't, isn't it? you hold something dear to your heart because it's something that you like. Would you hold something dear to your heart if it's something that gives you happiness? Of course. In fact, that's almost by default. Would you hold something close to your heart if it doesn't give you happiness? Rightly speaking, you shouldn't. Why should you? Why should you hold something close to your heart if it gives you pain and suffering? But if we look around ourselves, we find many cases of this. But it's not that we are stupid. It's not that people are stupid, that they knowingly go and choose something that gives them suffering and hold it close to their heart. It is that that something, whether it's a person or a thing, may at some point in time give them happiness or some happiness. And they think that it is real happiness. Real meaning cannot change, will always give you happiness. And then when conditions change, they start to suffer. But they don't realize that the trouble is with our mindset of that thing. Then whatever they think can give them true happiness actually cannot give them true happiness. Only give us conditional happiness. But we don't see it. So we continue to hold on to it, even when it's burning us, even when it's hurting us. If everybody see clearly, then counselors will be out of job. If everybody see clearly, then we'll all become enlightened. Huh? Then we don't need so many Dhamma talk. Yeah, the Dhamma talk will be that. How? Everybody clear? Clear. Okay, end of class. Yeah. Then Dhamma talk will be just the opening. How are y'all today? Okay, end of class. Yeah, very simple. But unfortunately, the way we relate to things, to people, we don't always see it clearly. Yeah, oftentimes we don't see it clearly. So here my teacher go further. 但是第八阿拉耶是, so this Alayesh, Alaya Vishnana. Vishnana. So this is the Alaya consciousness. So Alaya itself, what is the meaning? The meaning is storage. Meaning of alaya means storage. There's a few layers of meaning, but the fundamental meaning is storage. Storage of what? Storage of our karmic imprints, the karmic seeds. Laye zongzi, alaya seeds. So where does the seed come from? The seed comes from our action. Yeah, when we act through our body, speech and mind. Yeah. And especially the discrimination of our six consciousness. Yeah, so here my teacher says, 但是第八阿拉耶识就不是这样。Yeah, that the Allah consciousness is not like that. Like what? Let's take a look. 比如说受持三规五戒修学十善法的这个人。 So for example, there's a person who observed the three refuge. Yeah, 三规, five precepts, 五戒. So three refuge refers to what? Buddha, Dhamma, Sangha. Buddha, Dhamma, Sangha are known as the three refuges. Why are they known as the three refuges? They are the three refuges for us, unenlightened beings, refuge from something. When we say we take refuge, what is a refuge? Refuge is a source of support. Source of protection. You know the word refuge? I think there's another word that we are more familiar with. Refugee. You know, refugee? Refugee, everybody know. Refuge. We seldom use the word refuge. We are more familiar with the word refugee, but they are linked. Refugee are basically those who take refuge. So Buddhists are all refugees. Many years back when I was in US, I wanted to give something to my father. I wrote a very long article about taking refuge. Yeah, and this was the angle I was going for. First, to explore what is refuge. Yeah. From the very word refuge, it has that essence. Yeah. That there's something that we that is causing us harm, fear, anxiety, and problems. There's something that is giving us trouble. And we want protection from it. So, in brief, the triple gem is a source of protection from suffering. But there are a lot of things that we do that protects us from suffering also. So, there are a lot of sources. Our first source of protection, of refuge from suffering is our mother. Anything happen? Ma! Yeah? From the most trivial one. I remember when I was a kid, I have this bad habit. I would go to bathe without a towel. Finish bathing, then, Ma! Tuala! Basically, ask for my mother for help to get the towel. Yeah? Do y'all do that? Some of you, yes. Some of you, no. Not just that. I will go to school and forget to bring my textbook. Forget to bring my homework. When you hear this, you may be thinking, some of you may be amazed. Like, huh? You mean Sifu so blur one? Y'all know this Sifu when I was a kid, it's like that one. Forget this, forget that. Fortunately, my primary school was very near. How near? Really very near. You know the... If you walk towards Guillemard, and then there's a petrol kiosk across the road. If I stay here, petrol kiosk, that place is the primary school. So near. Really stone throw away. Yeah, so sometimes I forget, then sometimes I will call back. Sometimes I will run back. Yeah, run back home. Recess period, yeah, during the recess, run back. Ding dong. Then my mother will open the door. Hey, you see, kiss me. Yeah. Yeah. Our mother is our first refuge. Yeah. Then later on, who become our refuge? Our teachers become our refuge. Yeah. Our teachers are our refuge when our classmates are nasty to us. Yeah. Then we go and, teacher, teacher, he beat me. Teacher, teacher, he take my pen. Teacher, teacher, he take my rubber. Mm-hmm. Huh? Right? Do y'all do that? Yes. Okay, y'all don't do that. Yeah. One day, I was punched in the face by a boy. He came and talked to me, talk, that's only pyak. Lucky he's, like, sometimes it's really funny though. Even at that age, primary school, I think I was like P4 or something, same class. But he's much shorter than me. So you look at me, punch me. I didn't learn how to, you know. So I got punched, you know. Yeah, but I didn't punch back. I told him, I'll tell teacher. Yeah. Such restraint, you know. Yeah. Such confidence and trust and faith in my teacher. So when I waited for my teacher to come in, Mrs. Wong Soon Po. Then I told her what happened. And then she looked at me. You must have been playing with him, lah. I felt so betrayed, you know. You're my source of refuge. I mean, that day I didn't say that, lah. Yeah. So I was so upset with her. I was so disappointed, disillusioned. I refused to talk to her for 3 weeks. Wow. Yeah. I didn't even want to look at her. Yeah. When she come in, she don't exist in my world. Yeah. So funny, yeah. But of all the sources of refuge, the Buddha declared the Buddha, Dhamma, and the Sangha as a source of refuge for us. Yeah. In some way, if you look at some sutta, the Buddha mainly highlighted the first two source. Yeah, Buddha and Dhamma as the refuge. Yeah. Sangha, in a way, came later. Even in the Mahaparinibbana Sutta, I mean, I'm part of the Sangha, but you might be surprised, how come Sifu is telling us this? Because, honestly, if you look at the Sutta, that's why it's listed inside. Yeah. In the Mahaparinibbana Sutta, the Buddha told Vairabha Ananda, do not think that your teacher is gone in due time, and then you have no more refuge. The Dhamma Vinaya is your refuge. The Dhamma Vinaya is your refuge. And the Buddha didn't say, the Sangha is your refuge. The Dhamma Vinaya is your refuge. Be an island in yourself. Be a refuge for yourself. Yeah. But doesn't mean that Sangha is not helpful. The Buddha also talked about how having the Sangha as your guide, as your support, is very beneficial as well. So here, when we talk about San Gui Wu Jie, three refuge is specifically talking about Buddha, Dhamma, Sangha. And again, I want to highlight, when we talk about Sangha, it's not including lay people. Unless you're enlightened. If you're enlightened, you're part of the Aryan Sangha. Yeah, that means the enlightened community. Because if you're enlightened, it doesn't matter whether you're lay or not lay. So in Buddhism, Sangha has a special place as in the monastic, but it's not exclusive also. Because if you are a lay person, but you are enlightened, steady. Why? Because if you are enlightened, what happened? If you are enlightened, and you are still a lay person, at most, Sotapanna, Sakatagami, Anagami, the first three. But usually once you reach the third stage, in a short time, you will want to ordain already. If you attain Arahanthood, then it is said that within 7 days, you either ordain or you will enter Parinibbana. special effect one. Sometimes the timing is impeccable. Yeah. Yeah. When you attain enlightenment, in a few suttas, it talk about how certain individuals, once they have attained enlightenment, you know what happened? There was this sutta about this lay person. He left to listen to teachings as an unenlightened being, but he came back as a third stage enlightened one. Yeah, or arahan, basically enlightened already. Then what happened? When he came back, his wife welcomed him, you know, and want to shower him with the five cords of sensual pleasure. And he's like, no. Like, what happened? Oh, this way of life is no longer suitable for me. Yeah, that's such a thing. As a lay person, you are free to enjoy the five courts of sensual pleasure. Monastics, we take up the practice to refrain from it. Enlightened ones, doesn't matter whether there's such a rule or not. Enlightened ones, naturally, once they reach a certain stage of enlightenment, first stage, they may still, on occasion, succumb to it. Second stage, even lesser. Third stage, no more interest. No more interest. They see clearly the nature of sensual pleasure. They have severed that desire and attachment and craving for it. Yeah. I often like to use smoking as an example. Yeah. Why? Because smoking is very interesting. for those who are into it, it is very attractive, yeah, and they almost cannot help it. But for those who are not into it, you may not be averse to it, but you're like, why do I care? You know? So it's not that you have to be super averse to it, but you just don't see the point of it anymore. And especially more interesting is those who were once smokers, and then they managed to transcend it. Then you see a shift. You know, we could almost use the word having a paradigm shift, yeah, towards smoking, for example. And in this case, towards sensual pleasure. Yeah. So if you can reach that level, yeah, in fact, not even that level, if you reach just first stage, you're considered Aryan Sangha. And even though you may still have sensual desire, but different already. The wrong view of a self is already removed. What happened? A lot of our gross defilements, you know, a lot of problems come from that strong attachment to my idea. My this, my that, I this, I that. If you were to regularly do an exercise, do a chart on a daily basis, every time you get upset, every time you get agitated, and you write down in brief, and then you go and investigate, go and analyze. Is there I involved? If I take out the I, what happens? You will have some interesting findings. You will find that the I is involved every time. If I is not involved, what do I mean by when I is not involved? Even if it's not directly about you, but if it's indirectly about you, you are affected also. But if you manage to take out the I, don't have the I get involved, then you find that you are not affected. The fear a lot of people have is, oh, Shifu, when I'm not affected, does it mean that then I don't care? That is the challenge. That's difficult, not easy to do. To care without the I involved. When I say without the I involved, it means mind is not there also. If there's no I, where comes the mind? You know what I mean? When we say this is mine, that means it belongs to the I, you. Isn't it? If this is taken out, then there's no more mind. So when we say take out the I, then it involves I, mind, and self. Everything taken out. And when the mind is not involved, a lot of problems is solved. But as I said, the difficult part is to still care if it's not yours. Not so easy. Why? Because we are used to caring only when it's mine. Not mine, I don't care. Now we say, try. Try to care even if it's not yours. Try to care even if it's not about you. And even if it's about you, try to care as though it's not about you. And when it's not about you, try to care as though it's about you. See what happened. So if you can do that, when you reach, or rather, when you can do that, or when you have reached enlightenment, you become a source of refuge. So you have the three refuge, and then the five precepts. Five precepts I've covered earlier. So here, 比如说受持三归五戒. So for example, if you take up the three refuge and five precepts, then what happened? 修学十善法的这个人, yeah, and practice the 10 wholesome deeds. Actually, it's exactly what we went through just now. 虽然还有贪嗔痴, 但很轻微. So although there's still great hatred and delusion, but it's very mild. Yeah, 他的品性非常好. His character is very good. Yeah, so 做了很多利人的事情, has done a lot of things that's beneficial to others. 修学这些功德的力量. So doing wholesome deeds, yeah, cultivating all these merits, yeah, this force, this potential, 这个力量. Oh, actually, I think we covered this paragraph also. recap. Can you all remember all this? Some of you can remember. So whether we do good, do bad, here we are talking about doing good, doing cultivation, improving ourselves. All this is imprinted in our alaya consciousness, in our mind. So, 就熏习在阿赖耶识里. So, the imprinting is using this word, 熏习. So, the word 熏, very interesting. To perfume. We are not so used to using it as a verb. When you see the word perfume, we usually think of the Christian Dior, Chanel No. 5, or whatever. I'm from that era.
Like, how do you know?
How do you know? I was not born a monk. What? I have girlfriends last time. What? I know. I'm a person who know things. What? Yeah. I'm not the kind of 闭门造句. I'm not the kind of 从小, 阿弥陀佛. Yeah. I know things. What? 开玩笑，宅男，我不是宅男，那我是宅男，能知天下事，不出家门也能知天下事。Yeah, now we're Google, man. Surprise, right? Still can know Chanel No. 5, Christian Dior. Yeah, Chateau. Yeah. So, we usually think of perfume as that, but in a way, perfume has that effect. So if you spray perfume, then the surrounding also get affected. Yeah, so this shin is actually using the word perfume as a verb. Yeah, that means to cause something to get that smell. Yeah, so in the commentary, it used the analogy of, for example, you're burning something. Yeah, maybe it's an incense or something. And then you have some cloth that is drying there, hanging down there. And although you're burning here, it's not in direct contact, but as you burn, over time, that cloth had that smell. So that process is called perfuming. Not perfuming. Yeah, so this is the common word, shin. Yeah. Literally, you can see in some traditions, you have actually very interestingly in Catholicism, they have the altar boy, and the interesting thing is that very similar process is found in Tibetan tradition. In Tibetan tradition, there's a lama, when they do the purification ceremony, there'll be a lama with the incense and then going around, right? Yeah, altar boy is doing that also though. Very interesting. Yeah. So when you do that, the incense never touch anyone. But the smell, we can say it's through the process of osmosis and spreads and permeates all over. And after a while, we all have that smell. So this is to describe how the seeds are planted. In the Anguttara Nikaya, I've mentioned before, there is a sutta, I think it's in book 3. The Buddha used the analogy of seeds, saying that when a person acts, it plants a seed. Just like, and he used the analogy of planting seeds. He said, like, just as a person were to tend to a field and then were to plant seeds inside. Yeah. So, the term 种子 is not something new that masters later come up with. It actually comes from the Nikaya. Yeah. So this 就熏习在阿赖耶识里, meaning that when you do all the meritorious deeds, you do cultivation, you attend Dhamma talk, you try to meditate, tuku, and then you fight against it, you struggle, and then you tuku again, and then you struggle, tuku, and then you struggle. Yeah. Don't be disheartened. That process is planting seeds. And then some days you just keep doing that, then someday suddenly that day, wow, very clear. Then a lot of people make the mistake thinking that, then they try to find a correlation, you know. Then hey, hey, sui sui, you happen to sit in another center. Then you think, wow, that center better. I go there instantly, wow, meditasi. Wow, now come for this class. Huh? How many years, nothing happened. Actually, it's that the seeds are planted until critical point, then you happen to go there and then it ripened, you know. Then what happened? You think that that's the place that you can get jhana. Then every time you go there, then after that, you see boleh. Then again, you see it, you try. Then before you get the critical point, again, you give up, you go to somewhere else. Then you go there, whoa, here, better. Then you keep on moving around. Actually, all the places are helping you, but you have all the wrong thinking. Yeah. Or sometimes you may even have this kind of wrong, funny ideas, thinking, wow, maybe this place, the cushion is better. Yeah. Or maybe the day you usually do full lotus, and the day you happen to do half lotus, or maybe usually you do half lotus, and the day you happen to do full lotus, then you think, oh, no wonder they say full lotus better. Why full lotus immediately like this or like that? Yeah, actually it's that the samadhi seeds, your mental effort, plan, and then, thump, a bit. So, 等到现在, 生命结束. So you keep planting seeds. Some of these seeds may ripen in this life, a lot of them don't. Then what happened? When will it ripen? 等到现在的生命结束, wait until this life, the end of this life. Then what happened? 升到天上, then maybe you are reborn in the higher realm. This is the case where this person, what? 三归五戒十善, those who attended the session just now, this is exactly the same thing. This is the basis for rebirth as a human and higher realm. So, 升到天上, then what happened? 第八世就会酬谢这个人. Actually, I mentioned this last week, the last lesson. So, in a way, like thanking this person. But this is in a way, allegory. So it's a personification of this eight consciousness. Not that eight consciousness is a person trying to repay you. This is an allegory. So, 而显现出天上无余乐的一切境界. Then it presents all the different supreme five courts of central pleasure. 无余乐. Maybe you all know, maybe you all don't know. But in many Dharma talks, some venerables, when they talk about 无余乐, then they say 财色名食睡. Actually, it's not 财色名食睡. Yeah, I don't mean to criticize, but I just want to highlight, because in the Buddha's teaching, 无余乐 is referring to the pleasure arising from contact with the eye, ears, nose, tongue, body. Yeah, not just 财色名食睡. 财色名食睡, Tom, you know what is 财色名食睡? Then you must ask. Do you ask?
What is 财色?
Yes, very good. So, 财 is wealth. 名 is fame. 食 is food. 财色名食, 财色, 色. 色 is sex. Yeah, lust. Okay, 财色名 is fame. Then, 食 is food, 睡 is sleep. It's somewhat linked to the five hindrances, somewhat linked to the senses. Yeah. But this is not the canonical set. Some people may think, ayah, don't split hairs lah. This monk, this sifu always split hairs like that, right? Yeah, not like, But this is a subset. These five things is a subset of these five things. The five things here is not the same as the other five things. Because 无余乐 would encompass the earlier five and more. Because if you think about it, if a person indulges in the five courts of sensual pleasure, you cannot have jhana. But let's say you don't have, you don't crave for 财色名食睡, wealth lah, you don't crave lah, fame, 财色,
lust
you don't crave lah, then 名 you don't crave lah, 食 you don't, you know, these five. But you crave for music leh? Music not part of these five mah? I can assure you, you crave for music, tatao, cannot. Tada, not tatao, tada, tabole. Tabole. Tada cannot. What is tada?
Tada don't have.
Oh, don't have. Okay, I learned something new. Tabole cannot. Tabole lah. Also cannot. You learn or not? Tabole. Tabole means cannot. Tada is don't have. Is it? Don't have. Then the other one is what? Tatao. Tatao is don't know. So ta is opposite. It's like no. Okay. Can I? It give you a bonus lesson. You can thank me later. So, don't learn from me. My Malay is worse than my French. Can you imagine my French is how bad? It's worse than my French. So ironic. Asian don't know Malay. Yeah, I wanted to learn Malay. My mom refused, like, advice against it.
Oh, God.
Yeah, she say, Sifu, don't go and learn that one. You learn that one, then you try to use that language to teach Dhamma, then later you get in trouble. No, actually, the reason why I had this thought of learning Malay is because I encounter a lot of Indonesian students and their parents, some of them may not know English. Some of them know Hokkien, yeah, or some dialect, but some of them don't even know. Yeah, or because I don't know enough dialect. Yeah. So anyway, we learn. So, 呈现出天上无欲乐的一切境界 So all the different experiences of the five courts of sensual pleasure. Yeah. Once a person is reborn in that state. So, 就像人间有楼房 汽车各式各样享受的境界 I'm not so sure about 汽车 I don't know why my teacher suddenly throw in 汽车 if I were to try to explain for him, it would be that he's trying to draw a parallel that just as we have all this entertainment and enjoyment, they would have their corresponding one not that in the heavenly realm they still need cars Yeah, don't need a car, yes. Yeah, they just think, then manifest there, or they have, to us, they have psychic power. For them, it's a default state, yeah, because of their rebirth merit. So don't go and search the Nikaya and search, whether heavenly beings have teacher. Yeah. Having said that, there are some sutta that talk about the heavenly beings on flying chariots. Yeah, there are some description about. But not gasoline one. Not gasoline one. Yeah. Wheels of fire floating in the sky. Yeah. Actually, we don't have to become heavenly beings. Yeah. Every time you take a plane, you are living the life of a heavenly being. Isn't it? Yeah. When you all take a flight, they all sometimes feel frustrated because there's a delay, yeah, long queue, then you are in the plane. Yeah lah, not if you are in business class lah, economy class ma, then cram behind. Yeah, for me no problem, I just sleep. Before they take off, I yeah, but sometimes maybe you feel frustrated. Yeah, you are waiting, you get off, then you know, then you are waiting, then you think dong.
All passengers, this is the captain speaking. There is a long queue. We're just expecting a short delay. Apologies for the delay. Another 15 minutes. Yeah. All crews, please serve some more drinks.
So long that if they serve you drinks, it means it's super long. At that point, you may be thinking, wow, what is this man? But you must remember, in that 15 minutes time, you're going to fly through the air. in a metal chair. You know, the very description of the Greek gods, you know. They are coursing through the air, yeah, in the chariots. But even now, in this room, yeah, we are living like the life of a heavenly being, you know. Just, you want light? Tung, let there be light. You want, do you want light? Tung, no more light. Yeah. Too hot? Turn on the aircon. Not cold enough? Ding, ding, ding. The question is, despite all this, are we happy? Recently, I've been sharing one simple idea. Did I share with you all in this class about the clothing you wear? In this class? Share already, huh?
No.
No, huh? Is it because you didn't come? Because I've been sharing in different class. So please stop me if you heard it in this class. Okay? So very simple, a few questions. Do you all wear the clothes you choose?
Yes.
That you like?
No.
You don't wear the clothes you like?
It's present.
It's present. So do you like?
I do.
You do lah. So do you purposely wear the clothes you don't like? No, right? When you wear the clothes you like, do you expect to be happy or not happy? Or at least give you pleasure? Give you a sense of
maybe spark joy.
Ding. Yeah. Now the question is, think of the last time you get upset. Think of the last time you get angry. Were you naked? Were you naked?
No.
You were probably wearing something that you think you chose because you feel happy with it, right? So what happened? What happened to that happiness that is supposed to come from what you wear? You know what I'm saying? The house you buy, I mean, sometimes you buy the house that you don't like. But whether it's the house you buy, the clothes you wear, the food you eat, almost everything is, when you get to choose, we choose the things that pleases us. But yet, while perusing those things that is supposed to please us, let's not go to the point of being happy, just pleasing us. Yet while using those things, while we are in the process of using the things that is supposed to please us, we can still be upset. That should give us a clue into the nature of things, that they do not truly have pleasing qualities, not to mention happiness, not even inherent pleasing qualities. For if they have, then you just have to have that, and no matter what happens, you are pleased. Yeah, think about it. If something truly has pleasing qualities, inherent, such that if you hold it, if you wear it, you will not be displeased. And yet, we can still be. And what does that tell us? Yeah. It means that all the things that we pursue, yeah, including the supposed heavenly life, if you, if we don't purify our mind, even if you are born in heaven, can you be happy? For that matter, sometimes I wonder, no? Sometimes I wonder, maybe with respect to some realms, they look at our realm as heavenly realm, you know. Yeah, but we are not happy heavenly beings. Not so bad, lah. Sometimes you're happy, huh? Correct, not?
Yeah.
When you attend SGC, are you happy?
Yes.
Say yes.
Yes.
It's okay. Then after that, you leave the class, then back to human realm. Sometimes happy, sometimes not happy. So, 这些境界享受也好不享受也好它就只有这么一个境界在那里 yeah, so whether you enjoy it or not, it is just that scenario, that state. Yeah. 我们很难感觉到这是假的 yeah, so your house, your phone, your things, whether you are using it or not, yeah, it's there, what, Shifu? Why do you say it's not real? So it's not so easy to look at it and say, to appreciate that it is not real. Yeah. So then, 但是等到阿赖耶识, what happened? 里面的业力结束, 境界也就没有了. So supposedly, when your supporting karma has come to an end, then what happened? The result will also disappear. The result will also disappear. Oh, now I remember. We actually cover all the way here. Because I remember that when we reach here, I say, okay, I think we will stop here. Because this is not one paragraph, one sentence. So, if this look new to you, either you are new to the class or you forgot everything last week. Okay, so I'll go faster so it can cover the new content. 这个业力是什么呢? So what is this karmic force? 指心动作的力量. Yeah. So it's referring to the potential, yeah, the power, the energy in our mind. Yeah, the ability to react, to have some produce some result. Yeah. So what happened? Where is it? 积存在阿赖耶识. So it's stored. Yeah, it's accumulated, it's stored in the Alaya consciousness. Then, does it just store there and do nothing? No. 当它发生作用时, when it is becoming active, yeah, active in a sense of producing a result, then 就会现出一个可爱的果报. 所以还是新的力量现出来的。 So here I want to highlight, 现出一个可爱的果报. So, 果报 can be 可爱不可爱的果报, 爱非爱果报. So, not all 可爱. 可爱 here is referring to all the pleasant ones. Yeah, 不可爱的, that means all the unpleasant ones. So, not talking about Hello Kitty. Of course, Hello Kitty is 可爱, 可爱. Yeah, kawaii is basically kawaii. Yeah, kawaii. So, here, although my teacher only in this line highlight kawaii, but actually includes kawaii and 不可爱. So, 本来没有由心的力量现出来. So, originally it doesn't exist. But from the power of the mind, yeah, here power of the mind is talking about the alaya consciousness. Yeah, 心的力量. So this is talking about alaya consciousness. On the highlight, this is different from, you know, there's something called the secret.
Yeah.
That one is not Buddha Dharma. A lot of Buddhists get confused, think that that's Dharma. That is utter rubbish. Hate to say this, but actually I don't hate to say this. I like to say this. It's utter rubbish. But what's more rubbish is when Buddhists think that is Buddhism. Yeah, when Buddhists who are supposed to be learned in the Dharma still think that is actually accordance to the Dharma. That's the rubbish. So, 等到力量结束, yeah, 境界也就没有了. Yeah, 境界就没有了. So, when the karmic force is over, that means it has been expanded, yeah, then the output, yeah, the result also disappeared. Yeah. Our normal thinking is there's an objective outside world, independent of us. There's a tree here. There's a durian tree here. We walk past and happen to see it. So the durian fall off from the tree. And then we get to eat it. The durian is independent of us. This is our usual mindset. In the teaching concerning Allah consciousness, it states that the durian tree exists because of a lot of conditions. And part of the condition is all our karmic imprint. Part of it is
all our karma imprint. So those who get to see it are those whose durian, so-called durian karma ripener, are in that sense. Yeah. But this needs a bit of analysis. Not so easy to understand or accept. So, 力量存在的时候, 它很分明的在这里. Yeah. So, when your karmic imprint is still there, then the manifested output very clearly is there. Yeah. So, 比如我们可以用手摸到, we can use our hand and touch it. 感觉得到 这道墙是这样子, 水是那样子, or the wall is like this, the water is like this, we can feel it. Yeah. 不认为这是希望, we don't think it's false. We don't think it's insubstantial, that is illusory. Feels very real, Sifu, you go and touch the wall, touch la, very hard. You don't think it's substantial? Who don't think it's substantial? Try. Knock your head through it. Yeah. But we tend to think the wall is substantial, and rightly so. Rightly so. But not just the wall, we feel that this body is very substantial. Huh? Very substantial. Isn't it? But all it takes is something to change, and then the whole body breaks down. So in Buddhism, we say that part of it is the current condition. Part of it is our karmic condition. Yeah. So even though you have the karmic condition, but you don't have the supporting condition, yeah, somehow you don't get food. There's another school of thought that say the fact that you don't get food is because of your karmic imprint also. Yeah. So it's indirectly still karmic imprint. Yeah. But if now, although you're supposed to get food, but people go and stop you from getting food, then you're deprived of food long enough, you also die. That imprint is still there. This is just termination, interruption. So you still have some number of years of human life rebirth to be experienced. So the combination, the permutation of all this, a lot of different types. Here he's talking about how when it is still manifesting, it feels very real. So not easy for us to think of it as unreal. Then here, 其实它是由阿拉耶识的力量才现出来,才出现, 所以也是虚妄的. Again, I want to highlight, as mentioned in past classes, my teachers and advocates, both the Madhyamika school, the teaching on emptiness, and also the teaching on the Yogacara school. Yeah. So, but usually for Diamond Sutra, we use the Madhyamika school to explain it. Here, my teacher bring in both. So, 佛法里讲, within the Buddha Dhamma, we say, 我们居住的这个世界是所有有情共同业力. I mentioned about that. The collective karma, 创造的. So, the world that we live in Buddhism, we say, is actually due to the collective karma. You notice that this phrase is so prevalent. Yeah, we don't realize that it's Yogacara teaching. Yeah. Actually, it's in part emphasized in the Yogacara teaching. Yeah. But in the Nikaya, there is references to that. The Buddha said, mind is the forerunner of all. Yeah, that mind precedes everything. From mind, then other things come. Yeah, not so explicit, but it is pointing in that direction. So, 若我死了到天上或到阿弥陀佛国, my teacher is very kind. Always talk about 上天或者到净土, never talk about 下地狱. Imagine you say, 若我死了 到天上或叫下地狱或做畜生或做恶鬼或到阿弥陀佛国, but then we feel 不要谈我的伤心事嘛 we may feel very disheartened yeah. But my teacher is quite in this text. So 这个世界就没有我的一份业力了 yeah. So if we were to be reborn in another world, yeah, then what happened? Our part of the karma is no longer supporting this world. Then the last class I mentioned about, that's where I mentioned about the emptying of the different realms. 我以前的业力所成就的世界结束了。 So the gist of that last week I mentioned was that in Buddhism, there's no end of the world disaster. Yeah. That the world come to an end when we all leave this world. So nobody will die in this world because the world end. You know what the difference? It's just like if a school closed down, then the students don't get to study there. Whereas if all the students graduate and nobody come and enroll in this school, the school will close down also. You see the difference? The first scenario is the usual doomsday scenario. The school is separate from the student. The school closed down. Then the students have no school. The standard doomsday scenario. Buddhism look at this world is the school exists because of students. When there's no more students coming to this school, then this school will have to close down also. Make sense? This school don't exist by itself. Yeah, it's for students that this school exists. So similarly, this world exists due to sentient beings. No more sentient beings coming here, then this world will just disappear also. Yeah, so, good news, we don't have to worry about doomsday. 释迦牟尼佛在这个世界成佛, yeah, Sakyamuni Buddha. So this is referring to the historical Buddha. Yeah, Sakyamuni Buddha. Yeah, Sakyamuni Buddha. Usually we just say Sakyamuni Buddha, Sakyamuni Buddha. Actually, you must know, Sakya is referring to his clan name. Oh, what happened? It seemed noisy.
You shift.
Accidentally shifted. So, Sakyamuni Buddha. So, Sakya is referring to the clan name. Sakyan. The Sakyan clan. Then, Muni. Muni is actually usually translated as sage. Yeah, a cultivator who is at a certain level. But which level? To the level of awakened one. Yeah. So, the awakened state, sage, from the Sakyan clan. And Sijia being his clan, in the Buddha's time, the monks don't change their name. So Sariputra, Venerable Sariputra, that was his name. In particular for Sariputra, we know that his original name is Upatissa. The name Sariputra is actually in a way like his nickname. Yeah, is Sari Ekyana. Sariputra. There's no special Dhamma name. When the Buddha gave them teaching, gave him and Venerable Mahamoggallana, never say, okay, from today onward, you will be known by another name. No. Only exception is like Venerable Mahakashapa. His name is just Kashapa. But because there are a lot of Kashapa, there's at least another three Kashapa. So, to distinguish that he is not just another Kashapa, the Kashapa brothers, he was given the honorific Maha, the great Kashapa, to distinguish, to say, hey, msi tin tsai di call Kashapa la, he called, siya kyang he called, dua Kashapa. Fast forward to the time where Buddhism spread to China, then at some point, we adopted the Buddha's clan name. Yeah, Sijia. So the earlier masters is called Sijia something. Then Chinese like to shorten to Shi. That's why now you see all the Chinese monk is Shi something something. So we have, let's say, not let's say I'm this is my name. So shi, then shi chuan guan. So or you can have shi zhi xing. So in a Chinese tradition, the middle character is the generation character. So each of the lineage, they have a poem, yeah, and each generation will use one character of the poem, yeah. So there's a certain verse that we use, yeah. So after Chuan, then is another one. I think after Chuan is Fa, yeah. But so some people joke and say, "Oh, you are higher than the Fa, something faster." Then no, different because it's under a different category. Then this is our own personal character. Then this one is actually from Shijia Moni for the Shi. Yeah, my originally is actually Zi Zibei, because I'm not ordained in Singapore. Ordained by my teacher whose lineage is from Dongbei. Yeah. So our monastery is in US. Yeah, so we are Zi Zibei. Then what the Zi is Xing. But there's another name. No one, almost nobody know. Don't tell Leo. Special name, yeah. So if you go to our monastery and then you go and look for Chuan Guan Fa Shi, I think only some of them know, some of them who could keep in contact with me, yeah. Most of them know me by Zi Xing. So anyway, so Shijia Moni Fo zai zhe ge shijie chen fo, Sakyamuni Buddha attained Buddhahood in this world. So zhe ge shijie shi zhe ge yang zi, yeah. So this world is like this, like what? 现在是简洁, so this is the declining kappa. So declining kappa meaning that there's a certain sequence where it'll increase, it'll decrease. So according to commentary, this is supposed to be the declining one. So then what happened? 大概的说, yeah, so roughly, what happened? 在几百年延续下去的时候, yeah, so a few hundred years later, then what happened? 因为人的道德越来越低, 所以这个世界会越来越坏, yeah. Because of the decline in morality, then this world will become worsened. 为什么越来越坏呢? Why does it worsen? Why? 世界是共业所造. This world is due to the collective karma, yeah, created through the collective karma. So in Buddhism, we don't subscribe to the belief of a creator God. We don't. Yeah, I just encountered this Buddhist group. Actually, it's quite funny. So they had this song, and this song is supposed to be from Shiji. Yeah, then because it's from Shiji, so Buddhist group ma, then you just use ma. Then this morning I was over there, then because last night I stayed over there, then this early morning we have puja, we have meditation, and I give them some sharing. Then when we go out for the walk, then I told them, yesterday I heard you all doing the singing. Quite nice, can you all share with me? They are all primary school kids, very cute. Some of them, I think it's maybe even before P1, you know. Shifu, then dragging their pants. So they sing the song. I don't know whether you all heard before. Eh-oh-oh-ee-oh or something. No, never heard?
No.
Okay. You have heard before? From Shiji, is it?
Yeah.
Yes, then in between, you know what happened? We sing halfway, then, I stopped that. This is a problem. Then they look at me. What happened? There's one line. 老天为我们写不同的故事.
老天,
yeah, 老天 老天为我们写不同的故事. Then I'm like, this, we are Buddhist group, this doesn't, you know, this is in direct contradiction to our teachings. So I
tell them to stop. Then I ask them to sing the next few verses. Then while they are singing, I look at it. Then I 灵机一动. Then I say, okay, come. I take out a pen, cross out that line. Which line? 老天为我们写下. Yeah, 为我们写. I say, cross out that line. Then I say, 我们用心来写下. Same number of characters, but bring in Buddhist theme. Yeah. It's later on, when I was clarifying with the organizer, then they told me that it's from Suzy. And I was like, But to me, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter which group it's from. Yeah. I don't care whether a Buddhist group or from other groups or from a lay, you know, secular song. But if you want to use it, we jolly well change the verse. Yeah. A lot of Buddhist songs actually make use of worldly songs as a tune one. But you change the lyrics. Some years back, some youth groups tried to produce their own Buddhist songs, but they didn't have any reference to sutras. So when I listened to their song, I was cringing in the chair. Yeah, because cannot be helped, you know. Yeah, a lot of, you know, when we do our chanting, right, a lot of people criticize and say, yeah, this one not by the Buddha, what? Yeah, not by the Buddha, but directly inspired from sutra, no? Almost word for word, this verse you can find from this sutra, that word from another sutra, yeah, and sometimes it's just paraphrased, but the essence is still there, no? Yeah. So sometimes, I mean, last time I was one of those who have a lot of question mark about puja, chanting. But over the years, as I appreciate more of the teaching, then I start to see, wow, all these are teachings. No? Before that, I don't know. Ma. Yeah. Then I realized, yeah, not so easy, no? Number one, not so easy to come up with songs yourself. Number two, even harder to come up with songs that has Dharma inside. Because first of all, you must have Dharma in you first. No? Then you can produce, and you must have the linguistic, you know, ability plus the musical ability plus Dharma. Three areas, no? The choice of words to link them together. So I that song a long time ago, I was like, oh. I'm like, wow, after that, I'm like, 哎呀,早知道我就不要做这个,我去厕所好不好?我去厕所,我没有听到,我可以装傻, 我不用装傻,我也不知道. But if I hear it, then I have to say something, oh. Then if I say something, then they feel hurt. Oh, hello, 师父, you know how many days, how many nights, sleepless nights we go through and change and change and change. Then 你一句话, yeah. But sometimes I find that Buddhists tend to be a bit wishy-washy about this. Not so firm about this. Some years back, another Buddhist group, one of the university, they played this game called what an angel and what a... Have you all played before? Angel and devil or what? Have you all played before? Something like that? Yeah. Huh? I can't remember exactly the detail. Yeah, but when they put up on the slide, angel and what? I was like, hey, hello. Right, right. Huh? Yeah, you go and search angel and devil or what? Huh?
Angel and mortal.
Angel and mortal, yes. Yeah. Angel and mortal. So I like, hey, I thought I angel and mortal. Huh? Nothing to do with our teaching, no. I can also put pusa and 众生, right? Right or not? Very easy, right? Not so difficult, right? Why are we so ashamed of our own heritage, you know? Yeah. As sometimes I find Buddhist group very strange. Yeah, Sifu, can you don't use so much Dharma words? You know, what my Dharma words? You know, Pali term people don't understand. So can you don't use that? Oh, you don't use that, you use this kind of thing. Amitabha. So, I sidetrack. So, so decline. So, so 世界是共业所造，因为业力改变。So because there's a change in the karma, then what happened? 所造的世界也随着变了。So sometimes, maybe a few years back, I saw a very interesting rationalization of this. Because when you talk about karma, then it seems like a magical black box. Because most of us, I think majority or almost all of us, cannot see the workings of karma. But you must know that karma is about action. So if we talk about a degradation of values, it's not just about, you know, the usual vices, what people gamble. Yes, it's about that, but it's also about our greed. And you think about our current society, because of our greed, we just consume, you know, the whole consumerism cycle. That means originally, maybe one human being consumed this number of trees in their lifetime. This number of, I mean, most people are not vegetarian. So this number of cows in their lifetime. And this number of pigs and so on and so forth. But because of the advent of technology, then things become cheaper, right? Mass production, ma. Then it feels like, why can't I buy more? Cannot finish through, no? Why can't I upgrade? Cheap, what? Telco give me upgrade voucher, what? I have to upgrade, but Sifu, I don't upgrade, it's gone anyway, what? I have to buy, what? Yeah? Sifu, I earn big bucks, what? I have to, like that, I have to, what? So in there, originally, human being only need this amount to survive for the whole lifespan. But now, because of consumerism, we are encouraged to possess even more on top of what we really need. So we don't have to think in some magical karma black box. No, just this itself, this is karma. Yeah, this kind of karma have a direct impact. So it's not so far off. Yeah. We don't have to think, oh yeah, this feels quite like a magical black box, so it's superstition. No. Yeah. Also, so some years back, I saw this this angle of expressing it. I thought, oh, this is quite interesting. So, 由此可知,外面的境界都不真实。From the Yogacara angle, so from this, then we say, the outside world is not real. And again, we must know, when we say it's not real, what does it mean? It means that it is subject to change. It is subject to conditions, not independently existing by itself. In fact, the way we understand this world, we think that the world, the tree exists by itself, apart from us. Well, maybe not directly, we cannot see how we are directly linked to the tree, but the tree also depends on the world. What? The tree don't just boom, one tree down there. What? Correct or not? The tree still need a lot of other things before there's a tree there. Yeah. So, even if we don't bring the Alaya magical box, we can also look at trees as, in some ways, intertwined with us. Yeah. In some ways. So, if our sight keep on changing, yeah, if our sight keep on changing, then the tree will disappear. Think about it. The annual global desertification. Do you know what is that? That's the Sahara Desert, right? The famous Sahara Desert. That is the Xinjiang area. That is that Sahara? That's not Sahara, right? Gobi Desert. The Gobi Basin. Yeah. While nobody is actively going there to suck out water, but you know, imbalance in the global scale, yeah, of the elements will just cause certain things to just spiral, you know. Yeah. But fortunately, two countries are actively greening. Two countries are India and China. You go and search China Green Wall. Not Great Wall, China Green Wall. Now, I know that some students think that I'm very pro-China. Maybe in a way I am, I don't know. If you're blind to it, you don't know also. So I cannot claim to be totally objective. But I must say,
I don't think they do it for super pure reasons also. But the thing is, they are doing. To me, that's what's important. Don't be misguided thinking that, wow, this group or that group will have super pure intent, want to go and will purify the world. But, I mean, if they have a choice, you think they want to do it? No choice, because Beijing every year, 沙尘暴, it's very serious, no? So it's in a way for selfish intent, you know? Yeah. And I think that is a good selfish intent. The choice of the two evil. Do you want them to be selfish to destroy the world or selfish to save the world? I think selfishly saving the world so that they don't die together is not a bad selfish. Yeah? We cannot expect everybody to be, oh, 观世音菩萨拯救世界. I mean, you know, you can go and expect lah. By dream law, continue dream law, you stand there, 当咕咕咯. It's not going to happen, what? Correct? Huh? So to me, be more pragmatic. Don't have to expect the kind of perfection. Even if they are not quite there, but at least they are doing something. Not bad. So, 到等到真结, so just not talk about 简洁 is the declining stage. Yeah, 等到真结 is where the human beings, in particular human beings, start to cultivate morality, cultivate the perfections and so on. Yeah, start to do wholesome deeds. Not that we are not doing wholesome deeds, but by and large, there's a decline. Yeah, the downward trend. You know, like stock exchange. Yeah, occasionally there's up also, ma. But the trend is downwards. Now we're talking about 真节, the increasing trend. Increasing trend, there are still people doing stupid things, but majority doing good. Then it starts to increase. Now, then what happened? 人的寿命减到十岁以后,就逐渐的增. This you should have seen it, right? That sutta. Because last week I mentioned about the cycle, then I mentioned that it's inside Dika Nikaya. She couldn't find, she couldn't find. Not the exact description I mentioned, but this part is inside. Have you all heard of this part? Of how the thing increase? Do you want to know? I mean, you all don't want to know, then I just continue. You want to know? Yes. Really?
Yes.
Really, really?
Yes.
Say yes.
Yes.
Okay, so you all want to know? No, I want to say, okay. So, this 十岁, it is said that at a point in time when human life declines until it's 10 years old, it is that we are majority all doing all kinds of vices. So with each vice being predominant, our lifespan half, until it's 10 years old. And then in the sutta, it talks about how a girl become mature at 5 years old. That means at 5 years old, you reach puberty already. Yeah, because the lifespan is very short. Then what happened? There's a time called the period of sword, 刀节. Yeah. So during that period, I think it's like, 7 days or 7 weeks. It is described that all the beings will start to kill each other. Not all, majority will start to kill each other. Why? Somehow, don't ask me how, but somehow, beings during that time, their deformments are very strong. And they are very vengeful. So they kill each other, they are immediately spontaneously reborn, and then when they are reborn, they can remember who killed them. So they go and take revenge. It's just like our current online games, you know. Isn't it? Yeah. And then it described that there's a special kind of reeds, yeah, like, you know, like that one, jiam one, long one. And it says that at that time there'll be a type of that is growing and it's very strong.
Become a spear.
They said once the person is being reborn, they just reach out, grab one, and it becomes a sword. Yeah, they can use it to kill each other. And so, wow, ping, 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 all kill each other. Yeah. Then there'll be those who, seeing this,
they decide to escape to the mountain where they are safe, and they hide inside. Hide until the fighting is over. Yeah. Somehow, but I interrupt. When I first heard about this, I still didn't think much. And then one day when I was playing games, because last time the games I play, it's not the fun view. I don't play that kind of stupid game. I play Quick 3. I play Counter-Strike. I play very bloody games. Warcraft, yeah, I play that also. Age of Empires, StarCraft 1. Yeah. I was so good that until today, when I meet one of my colleagues, he still say, I will always remember how when I was jumping from one platform to the next, you hit me with a rocket. Now, you all laugh, but for the wrong reason. Because you all don't really know what it takes to hit someone with a rocket. Because in the game, Quick 3, a machine gun is spontaneous. You just click it, bam, bam, bam. The guy is hit immediately. Yeah, and there's no recoil. Counter-Strike has recoil. Yeah, it's more realistic. Quick 3 is not realistic. Then there's another gun called the BFG. The real gun that is also instantaneous and it's very jialat, but you need to be exactly at that spot. So that's hard to aim. Rocket is easy because it's splash damage, but it takes time to travel. So while he's flying through the air, I was able to anticipate where the rocket will land and where he will be, and so I knocked him out of the sky. I was that good. Only in the game. In real life, I'm Bobo Shooter. In real life, 15 meters, bang, 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 miss. My corporal come over. Lim, right in front of you. He take a stone, he throw at the thing. Bang! He managed to hit the target with a stone. With a gun, I couldn't hit it. Bang, 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 bang. I'm only a marksman in the game. So I was that good. Play. Until suddenly, one day, it's not that I hear of this teaching immediately. I heard of this teaching, then I continue play. Until one day, suddenly I'm like, wait a minute. This is more or less like what the sutra is describing now. Like, each time you spawn, you immediately have access to some basic weapon. You go around just collecting weapon, and then you shoot anything that moves. Anything that is not your color, your team, you shoot them, And when the guy hit you, after you respawn, you remember, because you know who killed you, You go after the guy, get you. After that, I really... Yeah, more or less stop playing games. frightened though. Yeah, because I was thinking, while I'm not a violent person, I'm planting the seeds though. Yeah, I'm planting the seeds for potential rebirth during that period. Scary, man. Yeah. But those who survive are those who escape to the mountain, the one who kill. So in the sutta, I talk about how... when everything, all the killing stop and they come out and they emerge, and then they say this to each other, something like, you are alive, or something like that. And then for us it's like, so what is that about? But apparently that is a greeting for the Indians. Yeah, but by the time it's Buddha's time, there's no reference. So Buddha explained where that greeting come from. Very interesting. And then they say that they agreed to each other, let's not kill each other. Yeah. And then the sutta says, because of that first precept that they observe, panatipata viramani sikapadam samadhiyami, then lifespan increased from 10 to 20. You think about it, again, you don't have to bring in the magical black box, You stop killing each other, of course you're going to live longer. Make sense or not? Yeah. And then from there, then they start to observe the next precept, and each time they observe it, then the lifespan double. So this is the incremental stage, or incremental kappa. So 到减到十岁以后就逐渐的增啊。So the 逐渐的增 is not something that just happened. It's because of the change in our action. So don't think that it will just bounce back by itself. If we continue to do stupid things, it's going to continue to decline and it will not increase. It increases only because we stop doing stupid things. So then what happened? 增加到几千岁。Yeah, it will increase until it's 1,000 over a few thousand years of age. Yeah, up to 几万岁, up to tens of thousands of years. 那时候人的寿命长，道德非常高，所以这个世界逐渐逐渐变成一个清净安乐的世界，就不同了。Then this world becomes a purified, pleasant, safe and pleasant place, happy place.A happy world, then it's different. in Buddhism, we think of it this way. We don't directly try to change the world outside. We change ourselves. And if all of us change, then this world will change. You don't have to forcefully change the world. There's no world apart from us. Think about it.There's no world apart from us. We are the world. You know that? We are the world. Really, we are the world. Yeah. We are the world and we will stop here. Yeah, because I have a session at 5. Kalapa? Gusa halika? Hello, what do you know? No, I have an appointment. Some students coming to see me at 5. We can talk a bit. Yen xiao san zhang zhu fan nao.
愿消三障诸烦恼，
愿得智慧真明了，
愿得智慧真明了，
普愿罪障悉消除，
普愿罪障悉消除，
世世常行菩萨道，
世世常行菩萨道，
阿弥陀佛，
阿弥陀佛，
起立。礼拜起立，祝大家身心安康，六十吉祥，阿弥陀佛，乖乖。